Lecture topic, concern for Akhirat.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من خاف أدلج ومن أدلج بلغ المنزل. ألا إن سلعة الله الغالية. ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala allowed us out of His grace to have witnessed the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And we are now in this Mubarak month of Shawwal, which is one of the months of Hajj. So the month of Ramadan gave us many things. It gave everybody many things. The issue is how much we took from it. So the month of Ramadan came with all its blessings, with all the special rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, the special bounties that we're pouring. But the question about ourselves is what we took, how much we took. So what we should have taken, and inshallah we took, Allah Ta'ala bless us with it, that we should have taken what the purpose of Ramadan was, taqwa. This ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited is directly linked to this very same theme of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. The one who fears standing in front of his Rabb, meaning he fears the condition that will come on the day of Qiyamah. And that day, nobody will be able to escape. We can't escape death. And every person will have to face the day of Qiyamah. That day is coming. Many times in dunya, a person feels very pleased with himself that I got away. Got away with what? Maybe deceived somebody and I got away. The person didn't even know what happened. Bought him and sold him and he wasn't the wiser. So I got away. Person feels very happy about himself. He's smiling. So when he's smiling for something like this, who's clapping? Shaitan is clapping. That look at, this is my fellow. Look at how well I taught him. That he did the wrong and he's happy over it also. He's even celebrating the wrong that he's done. So, in this world, all these things happen sometimes. Deceive somebody and feel we got away. Harm somebody and feel we got away. Various other things of this nature, but there isn't any getaway from the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Everybody will have to present themselves in front of Allah Ta'ala. And every rakat of every salah we remind ourselves, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ. Allah Ta'ala made it necessary for us to remind ourselves daily multiple times that we have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And we keep reminding ourselves, Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah Ta'ala is the master of the day of judgment. The day of judgment is coming. So now the person who fears standing on that day, meaning one explanation that has been given of this is that he was tempted to commit some sin. But when that temptation came, he was inclined. But then he immediately reflected, what about the day of Qiyamah? I have to stand and give an answer for my deeds on that day. So he reflected and then he refrained, he restrained himself. So he restrained himself. Allah Ta'ala loves this so much. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ The one who fears standing in front of his Rabb, meaning on the day of Qiyamah. And as a result, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى He restrained his nafs from its evil desires. He reined it in. He did not give in to those desires. So Allah Ta'ala loves this because this is a very great jihad within himself. Allah is our creator. Allah knows what is this insan. And Allah knows that this temptations, these desires that are within him, what a level this can reach, what peak it can reach, what force it can get to. But despite all that, this person didn't give in. He undertook the jihad against this nafs. So this jihad against this nafs, Allah loves it tremendously. As a result, Allah says, then there's only one thing left for him. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ The Jannat is his abode. He restrained himself, this is the outcome. So in any case, what this ayat is teaching us and what it's explaining to us is that this standing and the fear of standing in front of Allah Ta'ala, fear is an emotion. It's an emotion of something that a person, he has some concern about in the future, that this negative outcome mustn't happen. He's fearing some negative outcome, but when he fears that negative outcome, or that some negativity that may transpire and take place, so as a result he takes steps to prevent that from affecting him, prevent that from befalling him. So that fear is a very, very great factor. Fear is what makes a person do many, many things. Person has locked the door of his house, it's secure, but he's still not yet satisfied with that. On top of that, he will have burglar guards. That too is not good enough. He will have an alarm system. Just having an alarm system, not good enough. It must be monitored. Must be a backup to it. And then that too is not sufficient. He needs electric fencing on his boundary wall. And sometimes that too is not good enough. He needs an armed guard. What is motivating? It's all costing him a lot of money. But why is he spending all this? It's motivated by some fear. So now this fear is a very useful thing if this fear comes in the way of preventing him from sin. Because this is a very, very long journey that a person has in dunya to akhirat, through the phases of akhirat, through qabr, through the day of qiyamah. So now he's afraid that nothing must go wrong. So Allah Ta'ala loves that action now that he took to prevent himself from that sin. Now what is all this about? This is fikr-e-akhirat. This fearing standing on the day of qiyamah. This is called fikr-e-akhirat. Part of the fikr and concern about the hereafter. When a person has concern, then that concern drives him. So now he's concerned about his hereafter, that how will things fare? And when this concern truly comes into the heart of a person, then this spurs him towards making islah of his nafs. The nafs is mentioned in the same ayat. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ And he then restrains this nafs from its evil desires. So when this true concern for the akhirat comes in the person's heart, then this leads him and moves him towards making islah of that nafs. Why? Because if this nafs, the islah of the nafs has not been made, then there's a lot of things coming up. The islah of the nafs, if it's made, then all these lot of things that are still coming up, inshallah, there's a hope that everything will go well. There's maut coming. And how will a person's maut come? How he lives? That's how he'll die. How he lives? That's how he'll die. That's a mafhum of a hadith sharif. One person used to say, if you live like Ramadan, you'll die like Eid. He passed away in sajda in the masjid. Maulana Ismail Rahmatullah Alayhi Salihi passed away in the masjid in Fajr Salah in the halat of sajda. But this was his line that he used to say sometimes, that if you live like Ramadan, you'll pass away like Eid. Subhanallah, what a Eid. So now the point is that the fikr of akhirat, of maut is still coming. How will my maut come? Maut must come in a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me. Must come in a condition that I'm in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And after maut is still qabr. And how will that qabr be? And then after that time in qabr, that qabr has been described, either it is a garden from the gardens of Jannah, or it is a pit from the pits of Jahannam. So now, what is the condition of my qabr going to be? That fikr of akhirat. Then, after the qabr, then still the day of qiyamah. Day of qiyamah, either the person will have the great privilege of being in the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, or Allah forbid, he'll be sweltering under the sun. That will be just barely above the heads of people. And some will be even drowning in their own perspiration. There will be the situation of the book of deeds. Where does it come? Will he be given his book of deeds in his right hand? وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Book of deeds in the right hand, everything starts going well for him. Now the very easy reckoning. And he'll be elated. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Allah forbid, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ. Now some will be given their book of deeds behind their backs, in the left hand, behind their backs. فَيَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. Now he will curse himself also, and he'll end up in the fire of Jahannam. So there's so many things still to come. Then there's the bridge across Jahannam. And what? How will he end up crossing it? All this depends on that islah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. Now this person's heart has become engrossed with this fikr of how this akhirat will come. What will be my condition of the akhirat? What this fikr will make him do? وَنَهَنْ نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. This fikr will make him concerned about the islah of his nafs. Now how much time do we have for that? We have enough time between now and the moment of death, before the pangs of death start. When that starts, nobody has any idea. Nobody has any guarantee. No guarantee for tomorrow, no guarantee for tonight also. So now this is that entire aspect that the month of Ramadan gave us, that to become concerned about our akhirat, and that concern should drive us towards the islah of our nafs. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned various rights. إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى وَلِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى وَلِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى. The sequence, first it starts off, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى وَلِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى. There's different riwayat. So in this, the rights of Allah Ta'ala, the rights of one's family, the rights of one's neighbors, the rights of the people who visit him, then also in it is wali nafsika alayka haqqa. Your own self has a right over you, your nafs. So now one is, it has to be looked after, it has to be fed, it has to be clothed, give it its requirement of rest. In the context in which this particular incident took place, in the initial occasion when this hadith sharif was mentioned, it was mentioned to a sahabi who was spending his entire night in ibadat and the entire day fasting every day. And to bring him onto some moderation, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him this advice. So in this was, on this specific occasion and context, it meant this as well. Give yourself the necessary rest that the body requires. So all these are the rights of the nafs. But the greatest right of the nafs is that the tazkiyah of the nafs must take place. The islah of the nafs must happen. Because if this nafs wasn't fed, if this body wasn't fed, if this person wasn't given, this body wasn't given the necessary rest, that's wrong. Deliberately to harm the body is wrong. But the outcome of that will be illness. And And then if that illness gets more, it gets worse, it'll lead to death. But death sooner or later is coming to everybody. It's wrong to harm the body deliberately. It's wrong to cause injury to oneself. Deliberately to harm the body is Allah Ta'ala's amanat, cannot do that. But eventually, no matter how well a person looks after himself, one day death is coming. But just as this is a haq and a right of the self, that it must be clothed, it must be fed, it must be cared, it must be given its rest, the greatest right of the self is that the tazkiyah of this nafs must happen. Because all these other things will stop with death. The effect of that tazkiyah will continue after death. Or the lack of it will also continue after death. If that islah didn't happen, that's going to affect after death. And if islah happened, it's going to also affect after death. It's going to make it wonderful. So that has become the biggest right of this nafs, that this islah must take place. So this fear of the akhirat, concern of the akhirat, this is what drives a person towards islah. And when this concern for the akhirat comes, then one of the main concerns that comes in a person's life is that whatever he does for Allah Ta'ala, it must be with absolute sincerity. Why? Because only that is going to be of any benefit to him in the akhirat, what was done with ikhlas. Now he's worried about his akhirat, and if it's not done with ikhlas, then the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, about the three people Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, who did a lot apparently, somebody spent a lot, great amount of wealth in the path of Allah ta'ala, somebody spent his life teaching deen, somebody gave his life in the path of Allah in jihad, but the motive behind all these good actions was corrupted, it was for name and fame and show. On the day of Qiyamah, these will be the three people who will be first thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So now this will become his biggest concern. What I do must be with ikhlas. Because if it's not with ikhlas, it's all gone. What is the worth of any amal if it's going to be flung back at the person? He'll be very concerned about how he performs his salah. Because in the hadith sharif it comes, that the person who performs his salah, but performs it haphazardly. He didn't perform the ruku properly, neither the sujood properly, the qawma and jalsa, the standing posture after ruku. He didn't perform that with calmness. The sitting posture between the two sajdas wasn't done calmly. His tilawat and his recitation was done haphazardly. As a result, he was reciting wrongly. In the hadith sharif, it is mentioned that salah which is performed haphazardly, and it is cutting corners, then it rises in a very, very dark form, sawda'a muzlimatan. And then it is finally flung back at the person, and the salah itself curses him, dayya'aka Allah kama dayya'tani, may Allah destroy you as you destroyed me. Now who wants to perform a salah which itself, that salah curses him? So the person who's concerned about his akhirat, he'll be concerned about how he performs his salah. Obviously, to start off with, he must be performing his salah. So he will not be performing four salah in a day and feeling he's a musalli. He'll be in a terrible state if he missed his salah, because one salah got missed. And then he'll be concerned about how he's doing it. It must be done well. He cannot afford the salah being flung back at him and cursing him, because his fikr is akhirat. So now he will restrain the nafs that is pushing him towards haste. That nafs will bring him last in the masjid, but want to take him out first. But then take him out how far? Just outside. Once he's outside, all the haste is gone. Then he'll have ample time for whatever else, for long discussions and anything else. But while in that salah, he'll just be too long. The time will just be too much. He'll have to get done with it quickly. But in the process, what he did, he saved 2 minutes, and he destroyed even the 10 minutes that were spent before it. Or that 5 minutes that was spent, that 3-4 minutes that was spent, that 3-4 minutes, 2 more minutes more would have done it very nicely and calmly. He tried to save 2 minutes and wasted the 5 minutes, wasted the entire effort. All the time that he took to come to the masjid got wasted. For what? For 2 minutes. He recited Quran Sharif for half an hour to now tick the box. But then how he recited? just to tick the box. So in a very, very haphazard manner, and not making any, or not taking any care to recite correctly the tajweed which is required. So he saved how much time? That recitation of one para, it normally would have taken him maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He recited in 17 minutes, 15 minutes. So he saved 5 minutes, and he destroyed the 15 before it also, because of how he recited, that haphazard manner, Allah's kalam. So now that fikr of akhirat will make him recite well. The fikr of akhirat will make him conduct himself well in his day-to-day affairs. Why? Because he has to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. He'll be concerned about correcting himself all the time. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, sometimes some person would come to him and he would say that, please, I did something against your right. I trampled your right, so please forgive me. So he'd ask, what right you trampled? So now sometimes a person would say that I made your ghibat. So if a person has made somebody's ghibat, and if he is more or less sure, has a dominant feeling that this has reached the person I've spoken ill about, and he has to take that person's forgiveness, he has to seek his forgiveness. If he is more or less sure, the dominant feeling is that it hasn't reached the ear of that person, then he must make dua, istighfar on behalf of that person, give some sadaqah, and do some righteous deeds and convey the sawab to him, then he should not unnecessarily hurt him more by going to tell him. But now if he feels, no, this has reached him, he must seek his forgiveness. So perhaps whoever used to come once in a while to come and ask for forgiveness, they would probably, it might be in their mind that this has reached his ears. Another person will come and tell him that, look, I made ghibat. So they'll say, look, till you don't tell me what ghibat you made, I won't forgive you. So one day somebody asked him, but to start off with, the person took so much of courage to come, and to come and even say that, look, he has done this. This itself must have been such a big thing to take this step. Now the person has come to ask for forgiveness, and that is what should be done. Then get done with it. Don't worry, it is over. Don't get into that detail. But now you, now whoever might have been saying this to him might have been quite close. She said, now what you are doing is leading to actually humiliating the person, that now he must start saying what he spoke ill of you. So what's the, there must be some reason why you do this. What's the hikmah behind this? So this was Hakim ul-Ummah. He said, my reason for it is something else. It's not my intention to humiliate anybody. I don't wish to cause any embarrassment to the person. But what crosses my mind at that time, that this person made some ghibat. In other words, he spoke ill of me. Ill of me meaning, he saw something in me which was a fault. Because ghibat is to speak something about a person that he will dislike. Now what he will dislike? He'll dislike something that's about him, which is a reality, with some fault, some weakness, something that he did which was not in order. So he says that he made ghibat of me, which means he saw some fault in me. My purpose in asking him that, please tell me what ghibat you made, is so that I come to know what is my fault, so that I can then pay attention to it and correct it. Now though in principle somebody has asked for forgiveness, he should be forgiven. But his fikr of akhirat was on this level that overcame him and overwhelmed him at that time. This person made my ghibat, he saw something wrong in me. He spoke about it that was wrong, but he saw something in me which needs correction. So I must correct it. So now how to correct it if I don't know what it is? He saw it. So let me ask him. But now this is that fikr of akhirat. That fikr of akhirat drives a person towards this islah. That now I need to correct myself. I need to sort my life out. So this islah is what everything is. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا إِصْلَاحُ النَّفْسِ This tazkiyah. The Quran Sharif Allah has hinged the entire success on this islah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا That person has succeeded who has purified his nafs. So this purification of the nafs, this islah, when this fikr comes, Now this will drive a person to make islah of his zahir, to correct his external actions. Now in that comes, for example, we spoke about salah, correcting his salah, correcting all his other amal, meaning doing it correctly. This was this fikr of akhirat. One of the tabi'een, Mu'alla bin Fadl, he speaks about the sahaba ikram. He says the sahaba ikram, they would make dua for 6 months before Ramadan. For 6 months before Ramadan, they used to keep making dua, Ya Allah, enable us to reach Ramadan. Meaning such enthusiasm, that for 6 months before Ramadan, they used to be making dua for this. And then he says for 6 months after Ramadan, they used to be making dua, Ya Allah, accept it. Now we are not even 6 weeks after Ramadan, we just a little bit more than just 2 weeks now running, almost. How many times after Ramadan we have asked Allah Ta'ala to accept whatever broken, feeble efforts were made in Ramadan? Why they were for 6 months making this dua? Because innama yataqabbalu Allahu minal muttaqeen. Allah Ta'ala accepts from those who are muttaqeen. And now they don't know whether this will be accepted or not yet. And not accepted, then what's the value of it? No matter how much time was spent in it, how much of effort was put into it, but it didn't get accepted, then it's all gone in vain. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, one person came to ask for some help. So he told his son, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to his son, give him one dinar. And now somebody comes to ask at our door, if you tell your child, say the 5 rand, they give it to him. But if somebody overhears the person saying, that kruger and bring it and give it to him, he might wonder this person is talking in his sleep or what he's doing. He's saying that kruger and is kept there, they come and bring and give it to him. But that's exactly what he said, that dinar, give him one dinar. So his son gets out of, well, subhanallah, one dinar he gave a beggar. So he said, Allah Ta'ala accept. Taqabbal Allah minka ya abata. Allah accept from you. So what was his response? He said to him, if I had to ever know that any action of mine got accepted already, he says, there would have been nothing more beloved to me than instant moth. If I know this got accepted, I'll want to go immediately to Akhirat, because now I know that I'm done. One action got accepted, I'll wish for moth comes right now. Meaning till that time, well, right now nobody will know. Till I don't get to Akhirat, I cannot know. So right now it's between hope and fear. There's hope also, but there's fear. Allah knows best. What was the intention? Anything didn't get, some corruption didn't come into the intention. How it was done? What was done? So now when this concern of Islah is there, it will drive a person to be checking his ikhlas, to be checking his sincerity. It will drive him to do the amal in the best manner, not to be haphazard about anything. It will drive him to maximize the amal. But the Islah, that fikr of Islah is there. So now all the time concerned, what I did, I don't know. How much of this will really be accepted or not? I need to do even more. How much of this will really be worth anything in terms of its quality? So I need to do more. So that hopefully all this might just somehow make up for the loss of the quality. So this fikr of Islah, then just as it will drive him to do more and to do more and to do better, more important than that, the principle of Islah is the takhliya before tahliya. Takhliya, to cleanse oneself and rid oneself of the things that need to be cleansed out of one's life. The takhliya, this is the first step to that Islah, which starts off with tawbah, sincere tawbah, repenting from all the things that shaitan and nafs got us caught up in. Now the person made sincere tawbah. Before he puts itar, he obviously is going to take a bath, he's going to wash himself. Because putting itar on that dirt is not going to now bring any real benefit. That's going to get all mixed up with that. So a person first takes a bath, the bath of tawbah, the bath of giving up the wrongs, coming back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then putting the itar of righteousness. All this works simultaneously, side by side. So this is what this Islah is going to take into. So in any case, this entire aspect of Islah Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he has given one very simple prescription of how to now work towards this. Nothing happens overnight, but in terms of dunya, we say nothing happens overnight, but we try to make it happen overnight. We know it doesn't happen overnight, but the person goes in overdrive from day one. Now he started something, some business, whatever else. He wants it to happen ASAP. So for dunya, we also say the same thing, that it doesn't happen overnight, but we don't wait long in the future to start off. Start off now and start off in earnest. Likewise, all this doesn't happen overnight, but the effort must start immediately. The effort must start in earnestness. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he gives a prescription. And all this is in the light of various ahadith and teachings of deen. So he says, number one, with this nafs now, we have to deal with this nafs. So the step one is musharata. And every morning, make an agreement with the nafs. You started off the day, now make an agreement with the nafs. Many a person says, when I start off the day, now first thing, I make sure all the people that are working for me, everybody is going to do their tasks. So I get everybody's tasks in order, sending them all their messages, you make sure all this is done. And so now for dunya, everything starts off, hardly the person yet opened his eyes properly and his already mind is running in that direction. Beginning of the day, musharata. Make an agreement with the nafs. What agreement? Simple agreement. You are not going to bring me to the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala today. I am not going to submit to you. I am not going to give in to your demands. That's the agreement. That's the condition he has placed upon himself regarding his nafs. I am not going to submit to the nafs. Now he made that agreement. But now that's the whole day still to pass. So then the second aspect is muraqabah. Muraqabah in this context means to keep checking and double checking, to have a hawk's eye over oneself. What am I doing? What am I speaking? Where am I looking? Am I not slipping up somewhere? So one is things which are very, very glaring, anybody knows. But when a person is not very conscious, many things go haywire and he doesn't even think about it. He speaks anyhow and doesn't think I did anything wrong. He's sometimes saying things which are really shattering people's hearts. He's got no idea what he said. Why? Because he's just not conscious about anything. That's become the norm. That's become his habit. So he speaks anyhow, he says anything. He conducts himself in a way that causes so much of taklif to others. Doesn't cross his mind because his habit is that he always will slam the door, for example. So slamming the door is part of life. Doesn't matter what it does for anybody else. So to him what happened? Nothing happened. So now this is just a simple example. The point is that these things become so common in a person's life, he doesn't think twice that is this in order or I'm committing a sin. So now this muraqabah, checking carefully and being very, very conscious. And then together with this throughout the day, this muraqabah, end of the day, muhasabah. Taking some time off, few minutes, and making muhasabah, taking an account of oneself, scanning through the highlights of the day. MashaAllah, some good things will come up. Allah's tawfiq, I made my fajr salah, alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah on it. Allah Ta'ala gave me tawfiq, I recited surah Yasin at the beginning of alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, I spent some time in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Various other good actions will come to the mind. So that too is to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. This has happened with Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq. Not my doing. There's no achievement of mine. It's Allah's grace and mercy. And then there'll be other things that will come up. Oh, I had made a condition with myself. I'm not going to commit any wrong. But then how many times I made ghibat? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So now, how many times? 3 times? 5 times? I had placed this on myself that I'm not going to misuse my gaze. Now 12 times has happened today. Now all this will come up in the muhasabah. And now when this has come up in the muhasabah, then there's the last step which is mu'aqabah. So now that the muhasabah, after taking stock now, the person took stock of his staff, say, you didn't do any work today. Forget didn't do any work, you caused losses and damages today. So now sometimes the person will go to whatever lengths, says, well, you're on short time from tomorrow. or whatever other things that will put pressure on him. So now we make muhasabah and they go to sleep quietly. Say, well, tomorrow we'll feed you even better. No, mu'aqabah. Now some pressure has to come on the nafs. So now tomorrow if this happens, then for each time you make ghibat, you'll make 4 rakahs nafil and you'll give 50 rands in sadaqah. And for each haram glance that you will cast, then this will be the outcome. This will be the punishment. So now then to fulfill that punishment. Now when that nafs will feel the pinch of that punishment, then suddenly that nafs will start getting straightened out. That now, for every time that he did that, cast that wrong glance, so 10 rands per wrong glance, so 120 rand came out today. Says tomorrow might not be affordable. So now automatically that nafs will start coming in order, because now this is going to pinch the nafs. All these luxuries that I can't do without, the luxurious food and whatever other things, you will not have a bit of it for the whole day. Because you want to taste the haram, so you must be deprived of the halal pleasures then. So now when the nafs will be treated in this way, then the nafs will come in line. So now those, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi was a imam of this entire field, and these were prescriptions that helped thousands of people traverse the path. Those who took it to heart, those who took it serious, those who had the objective in front of them. They weren't just, as I say, freelancing. They had an objective. This is not just something by the way. No, there's a purpose and a goal to achieve. So then they undertook it. And they undertook it seriously. And alhamdulillah, many things that people initially thought in their lives that this can't come out of my life. I can never stop this wrong. But why? What was speaking was the nafs. The nafs was making the person just fall in that no, you can't stop this. But when the nafs got the hiding, came right. Said, no, you can't stop. This is possible. Why is possible? Because the other thing is more painful. The punishment on the nafs is more painful. The nafs only wants pleasure. So now when he starts getting the pain, he says, no, this is worse. Rather just bear this, rather than this. So the nafs gets ready to bear the struggle when a person is restraining it from haram. So now that's the procedure that a giant of this caliber, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he gives this prescription. You want to get there? There's a process. There's a path. So it's a very clear path. Very simple. Very easy. But has to be done. It has to be undertaken. When a person undertakes it, Allah grants that himmat, then he must take the steps, start off the journey. Allah Ta'ala will make him walk it. Allah will give the strength and energy and the courage. Allah Ta'ala will grant him that fervor to now move forward. So these are the simple things that we have to undertake for a very big goal and a very great outcome. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. And in another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. The one who fears standing in front of Allah Ta'ala, meaning in the same context, that as a result then he restrains himself from haram. For him is two jannats. So now one tafsir of this is, two jannats, meaning the different gardens of Jannah, which the details of Mufassirin have given in the light of various ahadith. Some Jannah will be everything made of gold, pure gold, and some Jannah will be everything made of pure silver, and various other details. But one tafsir is one Jannah already in this world. The Jannah inside his heart, that he'll have the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. And that Jannah and that sweetness, the sweetness of Iman, which is beyond all the sweetness of everything else in this dunya. That is already one Jannat here, and the Jannat to come is in the Akhirat. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah bless us with this concern for Akhirat, and this concern for the Islah for our nafs, and this ability to take the step and make the Islah and move forward in this direction. This is where our every good of dunya and Akhirat also lies. Allah Ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. said Guru Charya. صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 الله
وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، انت كما اثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. إله العالمين الله most merciful most gracious most kind most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our families, Ya Allah. Forgive our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, take us out of the slavery of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us your true and obedient slaves, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, enable us to submit to you entirely, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, take us from the subjugation of nafs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us, Ya Allah, completely subservient to you, Ya Allah. Enable us to fulfill all your commands, Ya Allah. Enable us to stay away from all the haram, Ya Allah. Put the disgust of sin in our hearts, Ya Allah. Save us from all the vices, Ya Allah. To save our eyes from sin, Ya Allah. Save our tongues and ears from sin, Ya Allah. Save our hands and feet from sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, clean our hearts out of all the sins, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the love of his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the ways of Yahud and Nasara from our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, put the love of the Sunnah in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put the disgust of the haram in our hearts, Ya Allah. Put the hatred of the ways of Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Those with any kind of difficulty, hardship, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant
Itminan to one and all, Ya Allah. Remove all the anxiety, the depression, the worry, the sorrow, the grief from the hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill the hearts with peace and serenity, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah bless us itminan through your dhikr, Ya Allah. Allah, you have declared Allah with dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah, grant us the dhikr, Ya Allah. Grant us the reality of the dhikr, Ya Allah, that brings an itminan to the hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are, Ya Allah, grant every Muslim afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Protect the life, wealth and honor of every Muslim, Ya Allah. Protect the iman and amal of every Muslim, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant each one istiqamat on deen and iman, Ya Allah. Allah, keep us steadfast on deen till our last breath, Ya Allah. Keep us steadfast on iman till our last breath, Ya Allah. Take us on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering and pain and hardship, Allah, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Sudan, Allah, wherever in the world they are being oppressed, Ya Allah, remove the oppression from them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give hidayat to the oppressors, Ya Allah. Allah, if hidayat is not decreed, Ya Allah, you bring your punishment upon them, Ya Allah. Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you grant us complete islah, Ya Allah. Grant us complete islah of our nafs, Ya Allah. Allah, you grant us this tazkiyah, Ya Allah. Only happen with your fazal, Ya Allah. You have declared in your Quran Sharif, وَلَوْ لَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ بَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Ya Allah, we're begging you for your fazal, Ya Allah. We're begging you for that rahmat, Ya Allah, through which your grace comes, Ya Allah, and the tazkiyah is achieved, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with that fazal and rahmat, Ya Allah. Make our complete islah and tazkiyah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with the fikr of akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the ego from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, malice, jealousy, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. The love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. The love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Accept us and our progeny till qiyamah for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. All those who have raised their hands to this dua, all who asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Allah, you grant each one's jaiz needs. And Ya Allah, fulfill each one's pious aspirations. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, bless us with it, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.